Well, to say the least, it's been an interesting week for myself anyway. Last few days I haven't hardly been able to walk. I got bent down in the back severely. And I told them last night at the Bible study, they had a special little chair for me and try to alleviate the pain in my back. And I said, you'd never believe what brought this on. But I said, I'm going to tell you anyway. We had a Bible conference, 13th Street. And I hardly ever do this, but every now and then I get dressed up, put some clergy clothes on, and wear a pair of dress shoes instead of my tennis shoes. Well, my back doesn't tolerate dress shoes real well. And after three days and three nights of wearing those dress shoes, they're brand new. There's nothing wrong with the shoes. It's just a petition that they put my back in. And after the conference last week, about a day later, I couldn't hardly get out of bed. I couldn't walk. I was just so much pain, I couldn't hardly stand it. So I just asked the Lord to look down on me and to help me. And I started putting some stuff on my back and taking it easy. And I've got a desk chair where I study and write stuff. And I noticed that when I sat down in it, there's a place in the back of that thing, the way it's made. It fits my back perfect. And I could lean back in that thing and my back would quit hurting. And I could lean forward and get away from the back and it'd start again. So I've been spending a lot of time in my desk chair at home. And I'm thankful to be here this morning. It seems like that a lot of times the Lord will bring us to the place where we absolutely realize that we're not operating on our time. We're operating on His time. He worketh all things. A-L-L. After the counsel of His own will. And that word all there means exactly what it says. Amen. There's not one event in time, not one event in our daily lives. There's not one event that has ever taken place or ever will take place that He does not sovereignly carry out His purpose and His will is performed. Amen. Whether we like it or we don't like it. That's right. And it's all done. And we're reminded that He's on the throne. Amen. And that's for His glory. But it's for our good. It's for our good. I had three children, and I had one that was a pure knothead when he was young. Couldn't control him hardly at all. Loved to run and romp. Carry on. Me and Nida rented a little place over in edge of Ashland. It had a staircase in it. I've told you all this before, but he was bad to run throughout the house, and I'd call him down. Every now and then, I'd grab him by the arm, pull him over, say, son, you're going to have to stop that. You're going to fall and hurt yourself bad. In about 2 minutes after I'd let go of his arm, he'd be running again. Well, he made a pass through the house. We had hardwood floors, and they were kind of slick. Now, I'd have been cleaning them real good and waxing them, and his foot slipped. And he cut a gash, fell on the corner of one of the steps, cut a gash in his head, blood squirting out. I ran and grabbed him, put the pressure to the bleeding spot. And you would think that that would teach a child something. All the talking that I had done, and then that example, but to the best of my ability, for the long as I had him under my tender care, I never could stop telling him, and he would listen, but it didn't do much good. He's a hard-headed fang like his father. Well, our Heavenly Father has a bunch of children like that. In fact, every one of them I know are like that. And he rules and reigns. He's not the head of the household in name only. He is the husbandman of his house. And he rules sovereignly. He speaks. And sometimes, according to the will of God, God tells us how to walk and how to act, how to behave in this present world. But we always, just about always, we hear, but we don't pay real close attention. And the Bible says that those that the Father loves, He chastens. And He has a way to chasten His children. My dad had a big brown belt. When I heard that belt coming out of them belt loops, I knew something was going to happen. And it was no longer words. He quit talking. Well, our Heavenly Father, here in chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, I'm not going to read the first 10 verses. We're going to come back to it. But I want to talk to you this morning on a word that the Apostle Paul uses here, talking to the Ephesian believers, those that had been brought to a true saving knowledge and a true saving faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he had already reminded them of God's election of grace in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. We've been chosen of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. From before the foundation of the world, the Father placed His love and affections upon a people that only He knew. And He gave them unto the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit entered into what is called in the Scriptures the everlasting covenant of grace. And the Father in that covenant purposed the salvation of a people whom He had chosen And the Son, the Father placed those people in the hands of His Son, our blessed Redeemer, our Lord, our Savior. And He placed those people in His hands to secure their salvation.
Amen.
And to bring them into position where they will be one with the Father and the Son. And the Holy Spirit in that covenant agreed that He would hunt them down, and that He would bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In saving faith. Okay? And all of this was purposed from all eternity.
Amen.
And what you and I are living right now, those of us that are believers, it's all because of God's purpose, the Son's purchase, and the Holy Spirit applying what the Father purposed and the Son purchased. It's all of God. And I think we all know that. I know we do. If we're a true believer, we know that. But Paul wants to remind us of something this morning. He wants to get into our memory and remind us of something. Let me make just a brief statement here of something that happened years ago. I was a member at that time of 13th Street Church, and Brother Henry Mahan came out and told the people that they would no longer be having the Bible, yearly Bible conference. And he didn't say why or nothing at the moment. But it went on there until the following Sunday, and some of the elders and some of the members there questioned him. Why have you stopped the Bible conferences? Well, he said, it's simple. He said, they're no longer Bible conferences. He said, we have come to the place where all we do during these Bible conferences is to meet each other, hug each other, shake each other's hand, and congratulate each other of what people we are in Christ. And we're no longer worshiping the living God. He said, we have forgot something. Remember now, that's what Paul's going to say. Verse 11. Start reading right there just a minute. Ephesians chapter 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. The Jews called us the uncircumcised, and the Gentiles called the Jews the circumcised. That was the mark of their covenant with God. But now he says, remember, in time past, you were Gentiles. You were outside of the covenant blessings of Almighty God.
Amen.
God knew you not in a saving relationship. You were outside of the covenant that God had made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And the promises and the blessings that God had given them, you were outside of that. God did not deal with you. You were Gentiles. Verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We as Gentiles were grafted into and given the promises that were given to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob.
Amen.
Why? Just why? Why did God look down one day and see a man named Abram and call him out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldeans and make him promises? I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee. Why? I'm going to give you the answer this morning. It pleased God to make you His people.
Amen.
Look in verse 4. We'll back up a little bit. Now, Paul had just reminded these Ephesian Gentile believers of who they are by nature. Sinners of the worst sort. And he starts out in verse 4 and he says, but God. But God. He didn't say, but you're smarter than some of the rest. And you got this thing figured out. And therefore the blessings of God flow to you. No, it has nothing to do with our intelligence. It has nothing to do with what we know or don't know. It has nothing to do with what we do or don't do. It has nothing to do with us at all. But God. It just pleased God to make you one of His children.
Amen.
It just pleased God to elect a number that no man can number. Out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue under heaven. It just pleased God to send forth His only well-beloved Son into this world. And it pleased the Son to do the Father's will and to lay down His life on behalf of those people who were without God and without hope. They did not know God. They did not seek God. They will not seek God. But God sought them.
Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Turn over to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. This is a beautiful picture here. And it sets forth God's purpose to be merciful and to be gracious. And by the way, he reminds Moses, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will be merciful unto whom I will be merciful. And whom I will harden.
Amen.
Look at verse, let's just start reading in verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came? The Lord Jesus Christ was born a Jew. Who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. God has always had a remnant that belong to him. He chose them in eternity past, and began, whenever he began working with the nations, he chose Abraham and established the nation of Israel. And in that nation, God had a chosen remnant that believed and trusted him and walked with him and talked with him. Because God was gracious and merciful unto them.
Amen.
Verse 7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That's the child of promise, the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Verse 8, that is, that which are of the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed, whether we're a Jew or a Gentile. If we are God's election of grace, we are counted for the seed whom the Father knew from all eternity. We are the seed. Okay? If we're a believer. And along with that seed comes all the promises of the sovereign God of glory.
Amen.
All those promises he made unto Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob, they belong to that seed. Always have, always will. And God is not slack, as some men count slackness. He will fulfill all that he has promised, and he'll carry it out according to his perfect will.
Amen.
When he sees fit, in his time and not our time. Verse 9, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children. Now this is a picture of the election of grace. Listen carefully. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's the God of this Bible.
Amen.
And he makes no apologies for it.
Amen.
Needs not make any. He does all things with an infinite wisdom and knowledge, an infinite love and compassion. But he does all things for his own glory and for the eternal well-being of his children.
Amen.
All things. Verse 14. What shall we say then? I know what a lot of people say. That election business ain't fair.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on whose shoes you're in. It depends on which God you're worshiping. When you have a people and all of them are on their way to hell, every one of them, they're all just alike. And the only reason they're not worse than what they are is the Holy Spirit restrains them from being worse than they are.
Amen.
They're depraved from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. Before they were ever born, God knew them. And God purposed to show mercy to some of them. purposed that from all eternity. Why'd he pick me? I don't know. It pleased God. That's all I know. I believe if I'd have been in his shoes, I wouldn't have. But God looks down upon those whom he has set his eternal love upon, knowing fully what they are and who they are by nature. And he he loves them with an everlasting, unchanging love. And he loves them in Christ.
Amen.
Not outside of Christ. He loves them in Christ. He loves them just like he loves Christ.
Amen.
For the children, verse 11 again, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved. If you ever go back and read the story of Jacob and Esau, both of those boys was absolutely scoundrels. There wasn't nothing lovable about either one of them boys. Jacob had a name that meant cheater. But God set his love upon a cheater from all eternity. And in time, he brought Jacob to know it. Verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Paul says, God forbid. For he saith to Moses, now listen, God doesn't try to cover up what he's done or what he's doing. There's nothing unrighteous about what God's doing.
Amen.
He's not bashful. He's not blushing because he's done something unholy or unrighteous. God comes right out in the pages of his word and tells us plainly, I will, let's read it. For he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, doesn't have a thing in this world to do with our will, free or otherwise. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, But it's of God. It's of God that showeth mercy. I'm a hell deserving sinner. No different than any other human being that's ever been born on this earth. But God stopped me one day when I was 24 years old. I wasn't looking for him. But he sure found me. I wasn't worthy, but he knew that. But he delights,
amen,
to show mercy to the guilty. He delights to be compassionate to them that deserve it not. It's in his nature.
Amen.
Turn back over to Ephesians. I will be done here very shortly. Verse 13, Ephesians 2. I want you to pay real close attention. I'm going to read this very slowly. But now, and what he's saying here is, you used to be Gentiles, separated completely, 100% from God, having no hope, no knowledge of God, no interest in God. Nothing. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Remember, you're nothing, and God's everything in this matter of salvation. You're without hope. You're separated from the promises of God and the blessings of God by nature. But God in Christ made you nigh. How now are you? Well, you like Mephibosheth. You're lame on both feet. But God's brought you to his table. The table of grace. When a man's legs is under the table, you can't see the brokenness of his legs. That's all hid. And you can sit and dine at the master's table because you're part of the family.
Amen.
You've been made a son or a daughter. Why? Because it pleased God,
amen,
to make you his people. To make you a, as our brother said, a royal priesthood. Kings unto our God. We're seated in the heavens right now, robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. God sees me as perfect as his own son. Without spot wrinkle or blemish. And he loves me unreservedly and eternally. He loves without a reason. In and of myself, I'm not lovable. But God put me in a place where he could love me. In the Lord Jesus Christ. God could shower his blessings upon me. Fulfill all his promises to me. Because of where he has put me. He loved me in Christ. Placed me in Christ. Redeemed me in Christ. Secured all of my salvation in Christ. And I'm now seated in the heavenlies. Where? In Christ. I'm made so nigh unto the God of this Bible that he can throw both arms around my neck and say, "Welcome home, son. Welcome home. I'm one of the family. Just one of the family." I hope that's been a blessing this morning.